Looks like this evening a few sheep went in our pastures. Praise God. I really enjoyed the message this morning. And I really believe it was of the Lord. And you know, it's so true, isn't it? You know, Samuel keeps sheep and other brothers here farm. And think of what you feel like as a shepherd when you go on the nut in that field. And then think of what the minister feels like when he prepares for a meeting and nobody comes. Think of what he feels like. I'm telling you, and you've always seen this, and I'm going to tell you it, and you'll have to agree. When God moves in a meeting, the devil will do his best if you don't have an or one like it for a while. That's the way he works. Whether he's working somebody, he could give them an idea in their head, and it could be just an idea on the go with it. And it's not of God. And they maybe think something about somebody, and it could be 1,000 miles from the truth. He'll do anything he can do so that you don't get the blessing. That's his job. You have to understand the devil's working all the time. And God's working as well. Amen. We thank God that the Lord is still working. Praise God. Let's turn to the word of the Lord tonight. And the Lord bless each one that's here. And we want to read again from 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24. And the Lord bless each one. Praise God. 1 Peter, First Epistle of Peter chapter 2, First Epistle of Peter chapter 2 verse 24. And I really was going to go into the next part of this, but I never got finished last week. And I had prepared for the next part, I call it part 1 and 2. There's almost 50 questions in all of this. But when I went back over it, I just felt to come back to this, and I just believe the Lord dealt with me on something. On this first part, and I want to go back to it and just look at it tonight. Who his own self bare our sins on his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight for your mercy and for your grace. We thank you for your love and your truth that you showed toward each and every one of us. Father, I pray that you'll cover us with your precious blood tonight. Bless each and every one that's here this evening. Ask for those that are sick and afflicted, I think of my own wife. Pray you'll touch her and heal her in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. For any others that need your touch, I pray you'll touch them. Lord, for others that for some reason or other didn't come tonight, may you bless them and be with them. In the name of the Lord, I pray. But Father, I just ask that you'll bless your word till our hearts tonight closes in with a time with thyself. And speak to us this evening in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I just want to go over a few things from last week. And you know, when God does something in a meeting, you can't repeat it. God has to do that part. But he is able to do it.
Yeah,
I can guarantee you that. But what I've found as well is if somebody thinks to give God a hand to make that meeting better, that's nearly a bad thing. Because nobody can give God a hand. Do you understand what I mean by that now? No man can take glory for anything God does. The glory must go to the Lord. Yeah. And even if we see 1,000 saved or 1 saved, the Lord must get the glory. It is God. And we should be just happy and pleased in some way if the Lord uses any one of us. And there's many a man sows seed and he never sees nothing. But he's been faithful to sow the seed. And the word of God says that one soweth Another watereth, but God giveth the increase. So we have to be faithful. That's the thing about the old shepherd. Whether there's two sheep in the field or 100, he still goes to look them. It's not right. He's still a shepherd. He never becomes not a shepherd. And the Lord's that great shepherd tonight. Praise God. By turning away from God and disobedience, man lost the blessing, the protection of God, and came under the curse and the power of the devil. In this way, the devil was able to bring man's body under many forms of pains, weaknesses, and sicknesses. However, God in his mercy still desires to bless man and save him, and not only from sin, but also from sickness. And the same way God saves us from sin is the same way God saves us from sickness. And the same way we receive Christ by faith as our Savior is the same way we receive Christ by faith as our healer. We can even receive the Holy Spirit by faith. You believe it. And the Bible says he gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. And when we obey, believe and obey God's word, and we act out the word of God, we do our part, God will do his part. My brother John, I think, mentioned that in a prayer, or I think it was one of our services, and it struck me. And I tell you, that's something what we have to realize, as a minister especially, we need God to do his part. We can do our part, but God, if he doesn't do his part, nothing will be done, but God will do his part. Amen. He will do his part. For he promised he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Lo, I'm with you always. Praise God. Now, God, however, desires in his mercy, still desires to bless man, to save him not only from sin, but from sickness. And for this reason, Christ on the cross not only bore our sins, but also bore our sicknesses. Therefore, by faith in Christ, we may receive physical healing for our bodies as well as forgiveness and peace for our souls through Christ on the cross. We saw last week, and I went into who brings sickness and who brings health. And I went through it last week through the scripture starting at Genesis. The devil brought forth sickness because he's the one brought forth sin. It was a serpent that deceived Eve. And because of that, man fell in sin. And the Bible says, because of Adam. Because of one man, sin came into the world. But because of another one man, righteousness came into the world. Where sin did abound, and grace did much more abound. Now I want to go on tonight, what I call it, number 9. And this is the bit that struck me today, and I really believe that the Lord sort of dealt with me a bit on this, and I want to dwell a little bit in this tonight. And number 9 for me, we're going to turn to Psalms 103 verse 3. What two things did David say the Lord did for him? And this, one of these things especially, I want to dwell on it tonight, Psalms 103 verse 3. Psalms 103 verse 3 says this, who forgiveth all thy iniquities. And when you look up iniquities, iniquity is a sin. Iniquity is wrongdoing. And I tell you, the Lord can forgive all our iniquities. I don't know if you saw the clip I put up of John Hickey preaching on divine healing. And I watched it. A brother sent me it. I thought it was good. I put it up on the site. And in there he's preaching and he says to the church, this is to believers. Who in here has committed iniquity? And several people put their hands up. And John Hickey says, that reminds us, we're still here in the flesh. But the Lord can forgive us. And even we can have things in our life that we continue to do. And things in our life that we shouldn't do, that we continue to do, are iniquity. And the Lord can forgive us from iniquity. Look what he says. Who forgiveth all our iniquities and who healeth all thy diseases. And I want to really look at that word iniquity. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. If God had dealt with us after our sin, we'd be gone. If he rewarded us for our iniquities, we'd be gone. But the Lord never dealt with us after our sin. The Lord never rewarded us after our iniquities. But the Lord, in Psalms 103, verse 10, is merciful to us. And even though we do things we shouldn't do, and next week we do it again, the Lord still has mercy. How long does His mercy last? Forever. Praise God. A brother preached under the message a few weeks back, and it's so true. The mercy of the Lord endureth forever. And because of this, we can have hope in the Lord. Praise God. Hope in the Lord. Now when you go down to chapter 130 of Psalms, you go across to 130 verse 3, and verse 3 says this: If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? There's no man that can get up and say, I never committed iniquity. God will strike him down. Now, I'm not saying God will, but He could. Because nobody can say that. This is what the Bible's saying, that nobody can say that. Who can say it? Nobody. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in His word doth I hope. And what's Romans tell us in chapter 5 about hope? Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Hope's a good thing. Praise God. Verse 6 says, My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say, more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there's mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption, and He shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. So the Lord is going to save people from iniquities. So don't give up. The Lord's able to save people from iniquities. Praise God. Amen. Now if you go back with me over here to Psalms, or not back, forward. Come forward three books. Psalms 53. And everyone should know Psalms, or sorry, Isaiah. Not Psalms, Isaiah 53. That's what, forward. Three books, Isaiah 53. And I want to read verses 5 through to 11 of Isaiah 53. And in Isaiah 53, verse 5 through to 11, we'll go back to verse 4. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Verse 5. But He was wounded for our transgressions, and was bruised for our iniquities. Now think of that for a moment. The bruises that Jesus bore was for our iniquities. And the Bible says that they struck Him with a reed and they bruised His face. They bruised the features of the Lord. Do you realize that? They bruised Him at Calvary. They physically bruised Him when they beat Him. And the bruising He received is for our iniquities. That's what the Word of God says. Just like the stripes on His back was for our healing. And the blood He shed cleanses our sins away. But this word iniquity, we know it's sin, but it's a continual sinning. Doing something we shouldn't do, and the Lord still forgives us. Bruised for our iniquities. Let me read it again. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement or our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. Ready healed. It's in the past tense. The Lord done it. I tell you, God done it for us. He done it for us. Bruised for our iniquities. Ain't that wonderful?
Every single infliction that Jesus received on the cross, and you remember I preached about the five wounds, the contused wounds, the last, how many remembers when I preached that many times? But when you study it, every single wound the Lord received, even the bruises, is for a scriptural, spiritual reason. There is a blessing come out of all he went through. He suffered for me and you. Jesus never suffered for himself because he had no sin and he knew no sin. But Jesus suffered for me and you. The just for the unjust. The godly for the ungodly. We were guilty. We were hell deserving. But Christ on the cross bare our sins and was bruised for our iniquities. And by his stripes were healed.
I thank God for that tonight. That he was bruised for iniquities. Now these things weren't even part of what I was going to preach on. But I had to stop at this. As I was going through this today, I had to stop at this and take a moment at this. I hope you're getting it tonight. Iniquities. God can deal with them. Turn with me to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3, and verse 36. Everybody knows verse 38. Now maybe wrote down that, or 26, not 36, 26. Acts 2:38, I'm thinking. No, it's Acts 3:26. Sorry. Acts 3:26. Unto you first, God, having raised up a son, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities.
So the purpose of Jesus coming is to turn us from our iniquities.
That's real repentance there. When you repent, you turn away from what you're doing wrong. You do not continue to do it.
And Jesus came to turn us around, away from our iniquities, and to believe on the Lord. Amen.
Go with me over to the book of Hebrews. And Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12. Verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 8. Let's read verse 12 of Hebrews 8. Now just dealing with this iniquity. Hebrews 8, verse 12. For I will be merciful to them, to their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more.
You know there's one thing God cannot do, that's remember your sins. I saw a fellow reaching in the advertising and I never looked at a sermon, but I knew that's what he was going to preach because that's the only thing he could preach. Something God can't do. He can't remember your sins. That's what God can't do, because the Word of God says he will remember your sins and iniquities no more, for they're cast away. Now if God can't remember them, why would we worry about them? And the devil might try and remind us, but we should remind him of the Word.
That the Lord's forgiven me and I'm free.
Now these are the fundamental facts why God can heal you. Amen. Because if God's able to forgive your iniquities, and in our reading, firstly in Psalms 103 verse 3, it says iniquities unheal thy diseases.
So the Lord will forgive you and the Lord will heal you. There's a man that listens to these meetings. He's from New Zealand. Lovely brother. Brother John knows him. My brother Joseph. He could be listening in even this message when it goes out. And Brother Joseph lost a sister, a brother, with a heart condition. My dad and me actually prayed for him in New Zealand. He was dying. And he died shortly after that. His sister's now in hospital. And he actually believes there's something on the family.
And I did preach about that years ago, but curses on families. And I went into the bit and I was hearing a wonderful testimony of a man. And this man felt led, this minister felt led to go go and pray for this family sitting in the service. And he went down and prayed for this family. And he said to them, before he prayed, he says, I feel led to pray for you, and I feel to break a curse over you. And the man was so anxious for him to do it. Yes, pastor, please, right away. And the pastor prayed for the family as a whole right there in the service. And then after that, God healed the daughter of that family straight away. There was a curse had been put upon them. And the curse had to be taken off them. And you say, don't believe that, then you don't believe the Bible. Because when you study it, you go to Genesis, and when you go to Genesis, you read where God said to Abraham, him that will bless you, I will bless. But him that will curse you, I'll curse. So anybody that curses God's people, they're cursed. And the Bible says there's power in the tongue, life and death. And we can say things over people we shouldn't say. But let's watch what we do say. And sometimes you can say something and people can pick it up wrong. It happens a lot when you're preaching, I have to be honest. And you could say something not meaning, maybe somebody takes the wrong meaning. And they can be offended and they took the wrong meaning completely. It's happened to all of us, I'm sure, at some point. And it maybe wasn't meant the way it was said. But that's why the Bible says we should be quick to hear and slow to speak. But we are able, through the name of Jesus Christ, I believe, to break curses. And we are able, through the name of Jesus Christ, I believe, to pronounce a blessing. I believe that. Why, brother, do you believe that? Because Jesus said to Peter, Peter, I give you the keys of the kingdom. That whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven in my name. Yes, amen. So because of what Jesus done on the cross 2,000 years ago, when you come under the sacrifice of the Lamb of God completely, the curse is broken. And you're free. How many knows that? Ancestral curses that try to follow people. Now you don't need me to tell you, and I can tell you that this fellow also dealt with somebody from Scotland. This man was, I'm not even sure where he was from. Great preacher, Pentecostal. He's passed away now. And this man had a condition, a problem, he couldn't get rid of it. And this pastor fasted and prayed, and this man was serious with God. And he found out when they went back into it, now you brethren that's from Scotland know more about this than me, and Matthew, he would be able to know about these things. He would, you know, if you're interested, how many of the clans? And you know the clans used to fight, is that right, brother? And one clan put a curse on another clan. How many's ever heard of that? See? Told you. But that came right through. It came right through and it affected this man. But this man, anointed of God, picked it and went back to it several generations. And in the name of Jesus, that curse that the clan brought was broke. And that man got healed. You see, this business of my auntie had that condition and her mother before her had it, and I'll have it. Now, you've just confessed to that cursing. You've said it's yours. I don't care if somebody before you and before you had it doesn't mean to say you have to have it. Why would you want it? I would rather have where Paul talks about your mother before you served the Lord and was blessed, and it's on you. The right spirit. Amen. So the cross deals with so much. The cross of Calvary, when we go back to the cross, Jesus at the cross, his bruising was for our iniquities, by his stripes we're healed, and all these curses and things that can come on us from family generations past, Jesus can break them. I tell you, the hereditary curses, what about their hereditary blessing? Do you believe in that, brother? Absolutely. Because Levi, not yet even been born, paid tithes to Melchizedek in his grandfather's loins, and he was blessed even before he was born. So you serving God as parents, there's something comes in your children, and I've said this before, and people maybe you don't get this, but on the third generation, there's an automatic blessing comes from God according to this Bible. When three generations serve God, you can't take it out of the Word of God. It's in it. And you read about Abraham and all, how the seed was blessed. That doesn't mean they live like the devil. I'm not talking about that. If they do the right thing, God will do it for them. How many believes that? Would you not want your children and your grandchildren to be blessed? I would. Now, when I mean blessed, I mean following the Lord. That's the greatest blessing, isn't it? Following the Lord. But I want you to pray for Brother Joseph. Pray for sister that, God will really touch her. Amen. And that the Lord will really do something. But we thank God tonight for the blessing. Look at chapter 10 of Acts. Acts chapter 10 verse 17. I don't want to get sidetracked. Acts 10 verse 17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now the devil also can tell you you're not fully delivered. You're not fully this or fully that. But if you've come to the blood of Jesus and you've confessed your sins, you're free. The devil's no hold in you. The cross breaks everything. Are you hearing me clear tonight? I said the cross breaks it all. How many believes it? Hallelujah. Isn't it true? Praise God. Thank God for the cross. Who healeth all thy diseases. The Lord has promised us here all these scriptures that he'll forgive our iniquities, and the same Bible says he'll heal all their diseases. All their diseases. Every disease. I preached the other week in our midweek, and I tell you, if you're free, come along on Wednesday nights, 7:30, come along into the house of God and let's pray and hear the word of God on the gifts of the Spirit. Fellow said to me last night, nobody preached on the gifts. And I said to him, well, I do. And then he said, you have to watch. Now, it wasn't your dad, brother. Somebody else. I said, I do watch. I watch and pray. Praise God. But the gifts, how are you going to have something if you don't talk about it? You have to teach the full word of God. But I showed you, and I tried to the other week, where the Bible didn't say gift, singular, but there's an S on the end. There's gifts, there's more than one. And then we saw in Revelations, for there's a tree, and the leaves of it are for the healing of the nations. And there's 12 of them. And God's many gifts for healing. There's a gift for every disease. And don't think there's something new's come up that God can't heal, because God knows everything. Amen. He's all knowing. You know, John Higgy, in that wee clip, I encourage you to watch it. He said a tremendous thing. You know, when people think about, you know, God sort of limited, you know, as a being, you know, they're sort of, in their head, God's a being, you know, and he's sort of, they try and make him into something to fit their theology. Well, you forget about that. Once you start to do that, you're wrong to start with, I can guarantee you that. But he says, you see, that thing called the sun, God took it in his fingertips and just dropped it out like that. Think of that. And then he tells how many times the earth would go inside the sun. And I'm telling you, it's a lot of times. These young people that are schooling, getting educated, you know that sun's massive. And God just took it in his fingertips, as it were. Isn't that something? I like that. Why? Because he made God big. He wasn't a preacher that made God some wee thing. The Bible says the heaven of heavens can't contain God. That's how big God is. He's massive. And I tell you, he's a great big God, and he can heal every disease. Amen. Now, if you go to the epistles of John, the third epistle of John, verse 2, and I want you to see three things the apostle did wish for every true Christian. Three things. Mark it in your Bible. Verse 3 of the third epistle of John. And there's no chapters in it. It's just verses in the third epistle. Verse 2 of the third epistle. Beloved, I wish above all things. So John wished above all things that thou mayest prosper, number one. Number two, and be in health. And number three, even as your soul is prosper. Now, if you're saved, your soul's prospering right to eternity. But John wished this upon the people of God, these three things. Praise God. That you may prosper, be in good health, and your soul prosper. Amen. Now you know it should be our desire. A soul can never prosper if it's not saved. And our desire should be to see everybody saved. Somebody said about a fellow one time, I think it was Jack Cole, that put him in jail. You know, Jack Cole was in the army. He got converted and he started converting everybody. You know, preaching. And they said he's a lunatic. And then they got the psychiatrist in and he had a go at him and sat him in the chair and went over him, you know. And then he wrote down his conclusion. He says, all's wrong with this fella is he's just trying to get everybody to think his way. He's a bit over enthusiastic. You know, I saw a clip today. Brother Brian Freeborn sent me this, but a great testimony. I don't know if anybody was on the site and saw it. But this man was 25 years in jail. How many saw that clip? 25 years in jail. I wish them tenuous this is. Here's the thing. He done robberies. Shot people, you name it, he done it. 25 years. He was never getting out. He spent 25. He wasn't meant to get out. Nobody knows why he got out. There's no record to say who released him. But Jesus came into his cell and delivered him. And he saw the Lord, and the Lord spoke to him, put his hand on his shoulder, very similar to the words he spoke to me in High Bank Jail, what he spoke to that man. I'm telling you, go on and listen to you here. And God completely delivered him, and he got on his knees and he repented. And he asked the Lord to forgive him and save him and all that. And God changed him and transformed him. And he prayed. He said he had a solicitor that they didn't know about. And he's touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And he said he got on his case and he got him released after 25 years. And where did the fella give him a job? In a gun shop. Now you imagine an armed robber and he gets his first job after being 25 years. Now I sent this to the fella that's not saved that we were praying for here a few weeks ago. Guess who it is? Sure, you can guess. And he sends me back this message. Imagine putting him in there. Well, it's like I said about the fellow that's an alcoholic. When you bring him to church and serve him real communion wine, if he's really born again, that won't put him on the drink. Because he's delivered off the drink. And he's got a drink of the living water. And one sip of communion wine won't turn him. Because he's really saved and delivered by the power of God. And that fella that gave him a job in the gun shop after him doing armed robbery, what do you think of that? You know, when I come back from America and I ended up on a coal run, and I remember doing the coal run, I'd come back from a missionary trip. And you talk about deflated, and people talk about being let down, all these different things, and it's true. You think about it, I come back from a missionary trip, I saw people see him. Everywhere I went. And I was away for 6 months. And I saw, look, nothing to do with me, but I did see a lot of people saved everywhere. In America, and Czechoslovakia, and Switzerland, and California twice, Mexico twice, and a lot of people got saved. And I come back, and people never even said, how did it go? Now, how do you think you'd feel after that? And I give up my job. I was training to be a baker. Had 1 year left to be out of my time. I was training and I was good at it. And I could do most of the things at the baking. And I give it all up to go on the Lord's work. And I had £400 in the bank. That's what I had. And I came back and had nothing. And I had to get a job because I needed money. And I went on a cold run. And people are so fussy. Well, I couldn't take that job. You know, it's a bit above me. Well, I went on a cold lorry. That's where I went. And I loved it. You say you are crazy. I know, but leave me alone. I'm all right. I went on a coal lorry, black as you like, every day of the week. But I loved it. You know why I loved it? I got talking to people. I got preaching on the coal lorry. I got witnessing everywhere I went. I witnessed a lot of people. There's a wee man at Bonbridge. I remember witnessed him. That wee man got saved. He died not so long ago, and he always talked about me, and people that knew me and knew him, he would always mention about me coming to his house from the coal lorry. There's a man lived across from us. I give him a track and he gets saved. He told me, he said, I prayed the prayer on that track and I got saved. People don't know the half of it. You think God's done nothing. God's done a lot. People forget about it. But I was on the coal lorry. And I tell you, think of that, and the devil used to say to me, that's some call of God you got. You're on a coal lorry. But I never worried about it. I just worked away in the coal lorry. But the reason I'm telling you, the fellow in the coal lorry preached at our old hall, Gordon Wallace. Remember, remembers Gordon Wallace, changer, good singer. Nice beard and everything, you know. Sang at our old hall in the schoolhouse. But he told me afterwards, not at the time, but he told me afterwards, he gave me a wallet full of money. He left it for me and he gave me it just to see what I'd do with. And he told a man, he says, I'm telling you, every single penny was there. He says he never took one penny. And I could have done it, but I didn't do it. I had no interest in it. It wasn't mine. But I've changed. God changes me. God can change people. Amen. Now, good efforts won't change nobody. It has to be the Spirit of God. But God's able to do it. Amen. And that was some testimony. You get on there and listen to it about that man, 25 years. And he was on fire for God. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19, 20. How many of God's promises may we claim through faith? You read 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 19, 20. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who preached among you, by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him are amen, unto the glory of God. All the promises we may claim. You're not just allowed to claim scriptures on salvation. You're allowed to claim scriptures on healing, as well as salvation. People rejoice over salvation, and I do too. But we can rejoice as well that God's a healer. Amen. I'm getting a new card done. I can't find the old ones anyhow. But you know, just to have a card, somebody will want your card. But I'm getting the four square on this one. Right, Rona. Savior, healer, baptizer, coming king. That's what I believe. Amen. Oh, but he preaches salvation. That's good. But what about healing? He's a healer as well. But I haven't saw many healed. How many have you seen saved? One or two? Well, if you see one or two healed, keep on it.
I'm going to tell you someone, and you better believe me, I'm telling you. So you start preaching and healing and praying for people, the devil will do all he can to get you knocked out that quick. I know what I'm talking about. He'll do everything he can. Because nobody preaches on it. There's prosperity. We're not talking about that. I met a man the other day and he was telling me he went all through America and he said, he told, this was his own words, he said, the light was with me on the darkness. Where he went through the churches. He says, the light was with me on the darkness. He said, Brother Tom, it was unbelievable, it was terrible. This is what he said. He said, all they were interested in was money. So this mountain, so some other mountain, and they spent all their time money. And he said, that's all they did. And he says, you want to hear some of them blowing about what God had done. And he said, he knew them and God was doing nothing with them. It was all blown up thin air. When God does something, you'll not need to boast about it. You'll know yourself, won't you? You'll know it's the Lord. Amen. Yeah. But the Lord's still a healer. Praise God. For what purpose did Christ manifest into this world in the first epistle of John? Chapter 3, verse 8. Jesus Christ was manifested in this world for one reason. That was to destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy the devil's works. Now whether their works is on your home or on your children, I don't care where they are, but Jesus came to destroy them and break them. Amen. Praise God. Do you believe it tonight? Thank God this evening he's able to do it. Destroy the works of the devil. Now we saw last week, Acts 10:38, for what purpose did Jesus anoint Christ? To go good and to heal all that were oppressed of the devil. I tell you, he likes to depress people, doesn't he? And oppress them. But Jesus came to heal all that were oppressed of the devil. Now, I'm not sure what time I started at, but I'm closing in 5 minutes. I'm going to stop. I don't know what time I started at. I never looked. But I'll tell you, the Lord's able to do it. He is able to do it. And even you see, if the enemy can try and get you down, he does it with everybody. And you get up here some nights, I'll tell you, and maybe half the people's not here, see how what you think of it, if you're preaching. And you have to prepare and wait in God. And you know, when you prepare and wait in God week after week, month after month, year after year, you have to be faithful to the post. And then you have to watch. William Branham says you have to watch. You don't build a complex against the people. And you think of what Psalm said this morning about the dirt of sheep. I'll guarantee you when they weren't in that field, he didn't go over and say, oh, you lovely wee, great wee sheep, where are you? No, he didn't. It's not right. And I'm not saying that about that. But what all I'm saying is, you feel it. You feel it. You want the sheep to be where you know. And then you have the other shepherds. You have the other shepherds and they fence the sheep in and starve them. What about them shepherds? The Bible talks about them, you know. Yes. Isn't that right? It talks about fencing them in and starving them. That's the shepherds that say we don't believe in this, we don't believe in that, and they don't let the people have nothing to do with it. They starve the sheep. Thank God he wants to feed the sheep, doesn't he? Amen. When God said to Moses, I want you to bring my people out, he didn't say to Moses, I want you to bring them out so that I can starve them and run them around the wilderness for 40 years. God never said that. God said, I want to bring them into a land flowing with milk and honey. God had a purpose to bring them out to better things. But the journey took longer than it should have took. 40 days become 40 years. Amen. How many remembers when John Noble preached a great sermon in Bonbridge? Let's go north. Wasn't it a great message? Any of you remember that message? Just a few of us. I can remember it. They preached it in the wee place there in Bonbridge. Number 9 or whatever it was called. Let's go north. We've wandered around this mountain long enough. Let's go north. Praise God. Jesus wants to destroy the works of the devil. Do good and heal all that oppress the devil. Who will Christ come to? I want you to think of this for a moment tonight. Turn to John chapter 5 verse 30. John chapter 5 verse 30. Let me turn to John chapter 5 verse 30. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. And you know, Jesus done the will of his Father. That's whose will he done. He didn't do somebody else's will, he done the will of the Father. Jesus came to do the will of his Father. Look at chapter 6, verse 38. Chapter 6, verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now you remember that God's will, when he said, it's not my will.
You see, when people talk about limited salvation and limited atonement, I don't like that sort of language. I'm but honest with you. I haven't a lot of time for that. You say, why, brother? Because I've read you two scriptures that Jesus came to do the Father's will. Is that right? Now, the same Lord said, it's not my will that any should perish. Now, for somebody to spend all their time preaching about a limited atonement, when God said, it's not my will that any should perish, and then they say, all will not be saved, and they major on it, that's all right. We know all will not be saved, but that's God's business, not ours. We have to present it to law. We must present it to law. And we must have a heart to see all saved.
Yes.
For God's will is not that any should perish, but that all should be saved. That's God's will. That's God's heart. He's made provision for all. Even as a brother once said, Cain could have come if he'd have wanted. But he didn't come. But he could have come. God made the provision. And there's no going to be no excuse in the end for nobody. God's made the provision. And God's shepherds and apostles and all the ministries have been faithful, the true ministries, to preach the gospel and to go forth. And the wee man that's five or the man that's 1,000, it's no different. They're faithful when the Lord's called them. And Jesus come to do the will of the Father. Who worked the miracles in Christ? John chapter 10 tells you, verse 37. John chapter 10, verse 37. Look what it says. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. I tell you, the fact that God was with Jesus was a miracle. You say, I don't know about that, brother. People, you see, they underrate miracles. They say we don't need healings. We don't need miracles. But the proof that God was with Jesus was the miracles. He says they do cures today and miracles tomorrow. Go tell that old fox herd. What about with John the Baptist? Yes, John that said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That same John, when he was in jail, said, is this the one or do we look for another? He had doubts. How many knows that's the Bible? What did Jesus say? He says, go tell John, the blind see, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised. And when John heard that, he knew it was definitely of a surety him. Now he did know before, we know that. But somewhere in between there, he just needed another confirmation. And God told him. Amen. And you know, maybe it's not your doubt, but you just need a confirmation. Maybe tonight sitting here. God can give you one. I can guarantee you that. God can give you one. That's God that can lay a fleece out. A man can lay a fleece out in his wet in the morning with a dew, and he can lay it out in his dry the next morning because he tells God to do it. Look at it as a fleece. God can do anything. I believe it. Praise God. Look at verse 38 as well. For if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works that I, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I am him. You think of it, if you bring it more to modern day, to the ministry of William Branham. William Branham is a man that could stand on a platform. I never heard another minister do this. He would humbly pray and he would say, God, if you're with me and this message is from you, come down tonight and confirm it, and God would do it.
Amen.
Then we have scarecrows all over to get people away from that. There's false stuff around the message movement, but the message God sent is absolutely the truth. Because it's God's message. And it's in this Bible. Don't ever be afraid of the real thing because of a scarecrow.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Don't let it put you off it.
Yes.
Don't be put off the Holy Spirit because somebody got something that wasn't the Holy Spirit. If you're really sincere, God will give you the real thing.
Amen.
Amen. He's a healer tonight. Look at chapter 14, verse 10. I'm going to have to close. Chapter 14, verse 10.
Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doth the works.
It was God in Jesus doing the works. Didn't they say no man could do this, only God? God was doing it. Amen. It was God in him. And there's no great man that can be called, I'm a healer. Jesus is the healer. Amen. But if we'll put our faith in the Lord, he'll do it.
I'm going to have to come to close tonight. And just thank you for listening tonight. I want you to be encouraged.
And I believe there's people already healed. Just let the word of God water it. Let it water it. The Lord's done it. I believe that. I just believe tonight God's already done something. Amen. And I want you just to believe it. And I want you just to be encouraged.
And it's so easy not to be encouraged, get discouraged. And the Lord good. Think of it when we get over on the other side. Wouldn't it be wonderful? You meet up with our loved ones that's gone on before us.
Maybe you have some sort of a hero. There's nothing wrong with that. Probably out of all the preachers, I really like Jack Coe. For me. And I can't explain that. There's something about him. But I just liked him. And I'm talking about the original Jack Coe. His son was alright. A good lad. But the original Jack Coe. That man of faith.
You know, I took his tapes out to Mashingo in Africa. And them brothers started listening. Jack Coe preaching. And their meetings changed. Because they were hearing about faith. A man that had faith. William Branham said Jack Coe had bulldog faith. Jack Coe didn't need a vision, or he didn't need nothing. He just believed it. And you know, for the woman in the cancer, and she came down on the lift. And she said to her husband, all hope's gone. There's no hope. And Jack Coe said there'd be of good cheer. And she said, did I hear you right? And he said, you did. And he prayed for her. And they're back up in the elevator, and God completely healed her. Faith. And his son, I got to travel from Bellarmine up here with him and back, and I asked him so many things about his dad. I just wanted to hear about everything, what I could get in, you know. And it was wonderful. And I tell you, God really used that man. But I want to tell you tonight, that same Jesus is still alive. Amen. And I said it Wednesday night. I believe God led me to write it out.
None of them men. Listen to me. They were all great men. But none of them men is our source. Listen to this. None of them's our source. What they can say will build faith in you and help you. But our source is the Holy Spirit and the Lord.
That's our source. My help cometh from the Lord. He's my source.
He's the one I pray for the anointing, for to meet my needs, for to heal me, to save me. It's the Lord. And it's great to have heroes and all them great men of God.
And William Branham's ministry stood head and shoulders above many. There's no question about that. Even the people that don't like him admit that. He was God's humble servant.
If he came back, listen to me. If he came back today, I'm telling you what, there'd be trouble in a lot of places. He wouldn't have it. Some of the nonsense that's going on, he would not have it.
You think a man said to me yesterday, it might have been Jeff's dad,
I can't remember, but he said, you know, if Paul the Apostle come back, they wouldn't let him in the churches. If Paul come back, they wouldn't let him in the modern day church. You know, the so-called church today put Jesus out. Yes. Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
But there's always a people. Yes. Amen. Amen. God is always a people. Amen. That's why Martin Luther inspires me. Because Martin, a monk.
I know I rave on about it. And everything. And people say, well, he spoke bad against the Jews and all. And he might have.
But I tell you what, God delivered that man out of some darkness. Absolute popery. Darkness to the highest order. Not only did that man come out, but he was a bright light. A light that's never been put out till to this day. And you want to have proof of it, you go over to Norway and you see them churches everywhere. Everywhere, Lutheran churches still today. You say they're dead, but the word still lives. Them buildings, maybe it's not what it was, but the word, the message he originally brought still live, and it's not dead. I hear people talking about it's dead, man and all this time. Don't ever talk like that. Everything God sent in this word still living. Because that's part of the bride of that age coming right up. You can't say it's dead. They're going to be quickened, every one of them. Brought from the grave. Going to be resurrected. Amen? How many believe justification is still part of it? You can't come to the Lord without it. Let's stand our feet tonight. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to ask anybody forward or anything. I believe the Lord touched people this morning. I really believe that. And if you've been prayed for, I want you to believe God's done something for you. If there's anyone else who does want prayer tonight, while her head is bowed, eyes are closed, just lift your hand up to the Lord. God spoke to you. God bless you. God bless you. And if someone's listening in this message tonight, I pray that God, rich in mercy, will be everything you need. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we thank and praise you for your word tonight. We pray you bless each and every one in this room tonight. Let the power of the Holy Ghost come back on the word that's been spoken on your people and confirm your word with signs and wonders and divers miracles in the name of thy holy child Jesus. Lord, we believe you tonight that you've never changed, but you are indeed the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, I ask your blessing upon each and every one tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray if there's any one that's ever had a curse put on them, I ask that it be broken and lifted and gone in the name of Jesus Christ. May every curse be revoked in Jesus Christ's name by the power of the blood of the Lamb of God right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, for the hands raised, touch that brother, touch that sister in the name of the Lord. Lord, as we go into our home tonight, may there be a blessing and an anointing. Go upon your people, avenge you from heaven. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we pray and bless Samuel, bless his family. Lord, we pray and bless each and every one that was prayed for. And for tonight, bless each one as well. In the name of the Lord, we pray. Lord, you know the desires I had in my heart tonight. And the things I thought. But Lord, you know everything. Let nobody be offended because of the truth. But Lord, ye said ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We thank you for the freedom of the Spirit of the Lord and the order as well of the Holy Ghost. Lord, you don't give us a spirit of confusion, but of power and of truth and of a sound mind. We thank you for that tonight. Father, bless us now. As a brother comes to lead the song as we go, bless him, bless each and every one. Meet every need until we meet again in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless each one. Don't forget Wednesday night service. Now listen, this Wednesday night we really need a special prayer meeting. What I mean by that is I don't want to be very long Wednesday night. I want to pray. Particularly a brother, Andrew's coming. Saturday coming. So this is the second. That's the seventh. Is that right? He's coming on Friday night, 7th. We'll have him sorted. I don't want me to get mixed up. Then I tell you it wrong, then the wife was not here, but she'll tell me off. But next Saturday night, we'll have Brother Andrew here, 7 o'clock.
next Saturday night, on Sunday. So there's no more weeks to go. It's next week. Is that everyone understand that?
This week.
This Saturday. All right. That's it, brother. So it's this Saturday coming. So we're 7 o'clock this Saturday coming, and then Sunday both services. Pray for Brother Andrew. The Lord will bless him. It's an opportunity to get somebody to come. And they might come to hear Brother Andrew that wouldn't come to me. I can understand that. I appreciate that. But take that as an opportunity and bring them. Praise God. And Thursday you go back, Brother. Brother Mark and Sister Ruth go back on Thursday. I want you to really bless them tonight as they go. And we really appreciated them coming and enjoyed the fellowship. And it's a real blessing, isn't it? Good. And I'm sure Carl's glad to have them as well. And it's great to have the family of something about it, isn't it? But we're all the family of God. Amen. Praise God. Don't forget also Brother John. Keep praying for Brother John's going to preach in Australia at the Easter Convention. We're going to be lifting an offering at the end of next month and at the end of the following month for Brother John before he goes. So pray. Well, it's this month. The end of this month. We're now in it. This is the second. The end of the last Sunday in this month and then next month. Pray for Brother John. And the Lord will mightily use him. And Brother Howard as well. Just to clarify something. The other week when I mentioned about Benon Howard's sight, the stuff I saw that put me crazy was not on Howard's sight. Alright. There was nothing on Howard's sight wrong. It was brilliant. It was on another sight that I was sorry I ever went on till it. And I'm going to say no more about it, but I'm telling you it's false. But you can go on Brother Hart's site. It's brilliant sermons, preaching. John's sermons on there, my dad's and Brian's and everybody's. Just in case somebody thought I meant Hart and stuff up. Because somebody said to me, I didn't think Hart would put that up. Hart didn't put it up. He didn't have it up. There was nothing on Brother Hart's site. And if you thought that, I said it wrong. I blame myself. But is that clear? Amen. God bless everyone of you. God bless you.